Thank you, Brad. It reminds me of that scripture, look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. That's where the answers come from. Our scriptures today, I have two readings. The first is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 38. Hear the word of the Lord. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. And from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And for that powerful song, my goodness, where are the Kleenexes, you know? That's right. Thank you so much, Brent. And well, you know, this is a subject that we don't talk a lot about, but you know what? We can't, because we're a people of faith. And we draw upon the deep resources of our faith. And it never ceases to amaze me how so much of what I need is found in the liturgy of the church. I remember the first funeral that I was going to do on my own, and the graveside was going to be way on down in South Carolina, so I had a long drive to make, and I had a lot of time to think. And then it sort of dawned on me that, you know, I didn't have to try to come up with things to say. That down through the centuries and through the years, and the church and the people of God have formed affirmations of faith, have formed liturgies, and have formed things for us to look to when we face life and death. And guess what? Every day is a birth. Every day is a death. Just today before this service, Otis shared with me some sad news about Wynella's first grandchild. I think it was her first grandchild to be born at Duke Hospital died. And so right now, Wynella, Otis's husband, is there at Duke Hospital. Otis is here worshiping with us today. I keep that in mind every time I preach. Somebody has something to celebrate, a birth, and someone has had something to mourn, a death. And then there's all kinds of things in between. I try to keep that in mind every week. And then I realize, you know what? It's not up to me to try to come up with things. We draw upon the deep resources of our faith. The church's liturgy is so rich. Just the other day, I was looking at our liturgy for the service of death and resurrection. And I like the way it says resurrection there at the last. But in the liturgy, it says something like, as in baptism we put on Christ, so in Christ may we be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear children, we are children of God. What we will become, we don't know until he appears. But we do know this, that when we see him, we shall become as he is. Therefore, those who have this hope purify themselves. Go to our baptism. Almost everything that we need to know about what we believe and how we should live and how we should face life and death is contained in the liturgy of our baptism. Our baptism says that we actually have already died, and we've identified with the likeness of Jesus' death, and therefore we will identify with the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. In our baptism, as in our baptism we put on Christ, so in Christ may we be clothed in glory. One of the things that I think about from time to time is how I'm so glad that Jesus talked about his Father's house, a place with many rooms, a home. He didn't necessarily use that word, but that's what we think of, home. It's interesting that you can go around the world. You can go in all cultures. You can go in all places where people are. And almost everyone will share something of a longing for a place called home. And you know, so many of us are just blessed because we actually have a home to go to tonight. And there's so many people on this earth that do not have homes. But all of us have this longing for a home, and in so many cases it's for a home that's beyond where we're at. It's for that place where we're with God, we're in joy, and we're there forever. We may not be able to articulate it that way, but there's that sense of longing for that lasting home. A home not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens, as our scripture tells us. And so Jesus gathers his disciples before he left this earthly life. He wanted to prepare them for his departure and for their life that they would carry on in ministry in his name. And he said, listen, do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. If we only just had that to hang on to, it would be enough. Now, in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, there's a lot of other good things to follow that, and one of which is when Jesus says, because I live, you also shall live. We have a home, Jesus talks about. God has put that longing in our hearts, and we as Christians have come to believe that it is the home that is prepared for us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we can trust in life and in death. And because he lives, we too will live. So that longing for home, don't poo-poo it. It's a longing God's put into our hearts, and God wouldn't put a longing in our hearts apart from the promise to fulfill that longing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I love that scripture, but there are lots of other scriptures, and Polly read the one from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul is talking here, and he's talking about how, you know, our faith hangs on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our understanding of life after death is not that we are spirits or a soul or some ethereal thing that floats around, but we are given new bodies. As Jesus was resurrected, so we shall be resurrected with a spiritual body. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, selected verses, Paul has some powerful words. I want you to listen to them right now. Paul writes, now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which in turn you received, in which also you stand, and through which you are being saved. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And then those who have died in Christ have perished. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body did they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps a wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I love the fact that Paul helps us to understand something of life after death. And it has to do with resurrection of ourselves in a spiritual body. Now, that to me, here's where I use my imagination, because we don't know much beyond that. But the primary way by which we communicate, the primary way which we are known, the primary way in which we have relationship is because we have a body. We are incarnate. We are in the flesh. Now, this spiritual body, don't know what it'll look like, but the fact that we're talking about a body, we're talking about the possibility for relationship, identification, communication. And you know what? That's good enough for me. Now, I know some people can probably tell you everything you want to know about heaven and even more than you want to know. And I'm not going to negate that. But I like what Doug Jesse said, Reverend Doug Jesse. I was with him for 10 years when I first came to this church. And I would listen to him at times of services and I'd say, that's so great, I'm going to write it down. I've got pages after pages of notes I took on Reverend Jesse. And so I quoted him this week in the email blast on Thursday. And he came back in here before the service and said, hey, I read what you said about my quote. I said, well, you know, I learned that from you. He said, well, the quote wasn't quite right, but he said, hey, it was better than what I said. I said, oh, man. Reverend Jesse has a way of making you feel good. But here's what Reverend Jesse said. He said, listen, I know neither the room temperature nor the arrangement of furniture in heaven. The Bible doesn't give us the details, but the Bible tells us all that we need to know, and that is that God will take care of us. Now, I've got that written down, whether he said it exactly like that or not. And I almost say it every time I do a service. I'm able to say so many powerful things based upon the liturgy of our church. But just like in our email blast this past week, I want to say this. I believe we're given glimpses of heaven in so many different ways. Glimpses of heaven through the scriptures. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. There are many scriptures that I could quote. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There are scriptures that kind of give us a glimpse, but only a glimpse, for we see now only dimly, but then we will see face to face. But we have glimpses in scripture. We also have glimpses in life, in our life experiences. Sometimes we get a glimpse of what heaven's about. I heard this story, powerful story, about how when Nelson Mandela was in prison in South Africa for all those many years, Reverend Story, who's a retired Methodist pastor, and he's a powerful speaker, he was his chaplain, and he was a minister in South Africa in the Methodist Church. He would visit Nelson Mandela, and he would bring him communion. And Nelson Mandela would have communion. And one day, Nelson saw the guard standing outside. And he said, sir, would you like to share communion with us? And he said, well, is that allowed? I'm a Christian. I take communion, but is it allowed for me to come in here? He got permission. So the guard got permission to come in the jail. And Reverend Story shared communion with Nelson Mandela and the guard. Now, here's what's amazing. Over the years, those two men became friends. And when Nelson Mandela was released and at his inauguration as president, on the front row was the guard, the man who stood outside his jail for a long time without even knowing Nelson. But then there came that time when the bread was broken, the body of Christ given for you, the cup was shared. And I dare say that if we all had been there in that moment, we would have said, I see a glimpse of heaven. Something breaking into this life that is not of this world. It's fleeting. It passes. But it's so good because at least we get a glimpse. When persons who are enemies lay down their weapons and embrace one another. There are times when we get glimpses when people forgive one another. There are glimpses of heaven when things happen. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you this, and these people are here in the worship service right now. They even prepared a little booklet with pictures of Polly and me in it. But Christina Black and her three 5-year-old triplets are with us today. And we went to the Durham Museum of Life and Sciences, and we all went to the Butterfly House. And I shared with you about how, to me, that was like passing through the thin veil that separates this life from the next life. It was like as if we were experiencing something of heaven. The beauty, the peace, the butterflies. I don't know what was going on in everybody else's head, but I knew what was going on in mine, and that was, wow, I didn't know this was going to happen to me, but it did. And you see, that's what God likes to do, because he knows we need these assurances and these times of consolation and these times of surprise. God is a God of surprises. So we have these glimpses of heaven, and we experience them. And I mentioned communion. You know what we believe about communion? It involves the past, the sacrifice of Christ. It involves the present and the fact that Christ is present with us in the bread and in the juice. It also involves the future. The future has to do with we get a foretaste of what heaven is like now through this meal. And we fellowship and we worship and we serve until we meet at the heavenly banquet with Jesus. We have a foretaste of heaven every time we have a communion. Now, when I was growing up, a lot of us teenagers liked to, I don't know why, I guess you just go through a phase like this. And you know what? Sometimes you got to go through a phase to get to the real thing. Okay? So if some of you have teenagers and they just seem to be stuck in a phase, just say, well, thank God it won't last forever. But you got to go through it. But we went through this phase in which we thought faith was a crutch. If you were strong, you wouldn't need religion. That was for weak people. And I wasn't really like that. I knew better. But still, you think things like that and you go, wow, well, what if that is true? And what if heaven's just pie in the sky? And what if you just say, well, yeah, well, one day it'll get better and we'll be in heaven and it'll make all things right. And then you look at the world and all things aren't right and you say, how can I heaven make up for that? And you go through times of searching, and you go through times and all kinds of things. But you see, we need to know that heaven is real. And here's the reason why. When we have heaven in our heart and in our minds, we find that we can face the challenges of life. And we can serve others. And we can give sacrificially and love sacrificially because we know something a lot of the world doesn't know. And that is, this isn't all that there is. And that God does, in fact, save even better things to come. Our knowledge of heaven helps us to live more faithfully on earth. It empowers us to daily give ourselves as Christ gave himself to us. Lots of times, and this at a service, I'll say something like this. We don't gather here this morning as a people who have nothing to say when death occurs. Rather, we draw upon the deep resources of our faith, and the first thing that our faith teaches us to say that is that God created each of us for a purpose, you and me for a purpose. And to the extent that our loved one has fulfilled God's purpose for his or her life, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise. And then the second thing, that we know that because this isn't all there is, that God doesn't stop loving us just because we get older and our bodies get sick and we die or whatever happens. Because we know that our destiny is in Christ, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise. Sometimes, though, I think the best way to catch faith is to be around people of faith. Are you surrounding yourself with good people of faith? I wish I could have met this man. I don't know if I would have had the opportunity or not, but his name's Reuben Job. He's a bishop in the United Methodist Church. He's going to share a story very briefly about his faith. And I want you to listen to it. And hopefully we all can catch something of the faith of this man who was facing illness at the time that this was made and who now is deceased. But watch this as he shares a brief story of his faith.
As a young boy, my two brothers and I went to a country school about 2.5 miles from our home. If you went by the road, if you got across the fields, it was shorter. And in the wintertime, when the weather was really bad, we used a sleigh and a team of horses that my oldest brother drove. But usually we rode a horse, and of course we had no ponies, we had no quarter horses. These were all plow horses, horses that my father used in the field. So when springtime came, we could no longer ride the horse because my father needed the horses in the field. So we walked to school and walked home. And as we walked home, our farmstead was surrounded with high hills, to the north a high row of hills quite close, and to the south about 2 miles away. But as I topped the little hill about 3 blocks from our house, could see our house then, and started down that hill towards home in the springtime, I would be unbuttoning my jacket and running the last 3 blocks home. Not because I didn't like school, I loved school, but because I was eager to get in to be at home. So I'd run down that hill, take off my jacket, and swing it around my head, put it on my shoulder, run into the house, and take off the rest of my clothes, my school clothes, and put on my home clothes. And always when we got there, my mother had either fresh baked bread or molasses cookies or something that filled that little house with a beautiful aroma, and of course milk that we would have for our snack when we got home from school. So it was a wonderful homecoming. When I die, I would like to have those who know me and those who care for me and those who love me think of me as running down the hill, slipping off the clothes I'm now wearing, this body, and putting on my home clothes, the new clothes that we will all wear in that city not made with hands, as the Bible says, but made by God.
Thank you. Well, you know, he shared a witness with us right now, and perhaps something has stirred in your heart that you would like to respond to. You have a need in your life, or you'd like to commit your life to Christ, or you just simply like to say thank you and come forth and just express your thanks. But the good news of our faith is that God gives us the assurance of His love, the assurance of His forgiveness. And He's right about those two things. But He also gives us the assurance of our eternal home. And He's right about that too. And so the invitation is just simply to come forth and respond to what God's stirred up in your heart. What you need today. What you need to express. What you need prayer for. Let us stand.